I'm excited you're here with us this morning. As we dig in, let's begin. Abbey, Archbishop, Bishop, Cardinal, Cassock, Chaplain, Cleric, Curate, Dean, Director, Divine, Ecclesiast, Ex-Arch, Father, Metropolitan, Minister, Monsignor, Padre, Parson, Patriarch, Pope, Prelate, Presbyter, Pontiff, Preacher, Predicant, Priest, Primate, Pulpiteer, Rector, Reverend, and Vicar. Wow. If those sound strange, how about these instead? Senior pastor, youth pastor, associate pastor, singles pastor, pastor of music, pastor of spiritual formation, pastor of administration, pastor of worship arts, pastor of sports ministries. There's a calling. Pastor of outreach, lay elder, board elder, non-board elder. In light of all of that, is it any wonder that most people are confused about the specifics of church leadership or what is often called church government or church polity? There you go. Thank you, Colin. Maybe you grew up in a church that had a priest, or maybe your church had a minister, maybe a board of deacons made all the decisions, thinking about all of the different models of leadership that are out there, that are designated as Christian, is enough to make your head spin. So what does God's Word say about this issue? What does Scripture reveal that can help us navigate through these muddled waters? Well, if you'll turn with me this morning to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, as we continue our series, New Life in the Same Old Place. The title of today's message is The Chief Shepherd's Shepherds. And this morning, we begin the first of our last three studies in this book. Or should we say the letter that we call 1 Peter. Peter wrote this letter to a number of churches who were struggling with the reality of persecution. Peter encouraged his readers to remain committed to God's path in spite of the opposition. He writes in chapter 2, and you might remember this, "Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation." But as he comes to the end of this letter, you might remember last week we finished this 2 months of suffering, but as he comes to the end of this letter, look at where his attention turns. In chapter 5, verse 1 of 1 Peter, he says, "So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." Now this morning, in order to better understand what God is teaching us through Peter, I'd like to ask three questions and then look at three answers for each one of those questions. In light of what we've just read, I'd like to ask, what is an elder? What is Peter's exhortation? And finally, what if you are not an elder? First of all, we see clearly here that Peter, in verse 1, is addressing the elders among you. Now, the word for elder here is the word presbyteros. It literally means someone who is older. So Peter could be addressing everyone over 65. And right now I could ask Dougie to push that button on his phone and we'd know who they were. He's got a guy, now I'm really branching off, I'll come back and say, he's got this thing on his phone, teens, under 25, under 45, under 65, and you push the button, you can literally hear it. It's amazing. Kirsten can't hear the teen one anymore. Yeah. And you know, he pushes a button and it gives off a high frequency, and it really is within the age ranges of what you can hear. Yeah, I can hear that now. Thanks, Dougie. That's why I've got those headaches. Yeah. So it's just amazing that he could be talking to people who are over 65 years old. But the rest of what we've gone through, the rest of this indicates that Peter has the leadership of the church in mind. And if we looked at the Old Testament and the early church in the book of Acts and the Greek-Roman world at that time, it would not be surprising that the leaders of the church are called elders. Acts 14 and Titus 1 tell us that the apostles appointed elders in the churches that they planted. But while village elders were and still are a common feature all over the world, the emphasis here is not on physical maturity, but on spiritual maturity. So, who were these elders in the early church? Let's talk about three things we learn from the New Testament about elders. First, the title elder is the most common title used for the primary leader of Jesus Christ's church. I say the most common because the New Testament uses two other titles to refer to these leaders. And actually, all of those names are found in one form or another in this passage that we have. The name elder is, of course, found in verse 1. The verb used in verse 2, translated here as shepherd, is the verb poimano. The noun that is related to that is poimne. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, Paul writes, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ." So shepherd or pastor is simply another title for an elder. An elder is one who shepherds God's flock. In Ephesians 4, the phrase pastors and teachers probably means pastor teachers, kind of hyphenated. It's all kind of one title, pastor teachers. These are elders, are not literal shepherds with real sheep. They are spiritual shepherds who often guide the flock of God as teachers. But there is another title connected to the second term. In verse 2, Peter says, "Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight." The word oversight is the Greek term episkopeo. Again, Paul uses the noun related to that word, the noun episkopos, in many places, including 1 Timothy 3, where he states, "The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded." And Paul goes on and he lists a number of other qualifications there. And so here, an elder is also called an overseer. This is confirmed when Paul gives a very similar list to Titus in Titus chapter 1. "This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained in order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife, and his children are believers, and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. For an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach." The term overseer is where the title bishop comes from. The later church separated the office of bishop from the office of elder. But it's clear from several passages that an elder is an overseer, one who exercises oversight over God's people. But the New Testament teaches us something else about elders. While there is no difference between an elder and a pastor and an overseer, we do find a distinction among elders. Paul talks about this in 1 Timothy chapter 5. "Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain, and the laborer deserves his wage. Here we see that these elders who lead the church, well, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching, these elders should be financially supported when it is possible. Why? So that they can be freed up and devote more of their time to the work of Christ. Paul valued the financial support he often received because it meant that he could focus all of his time and attention on the work of Jesus. Sometimes he had to stop, or he chose to stop and make tents to provide for himself, but many churches contributed to his support. Now, this kind of financial support, it does not make these elders any better than their fellow elders. All of them are still entrusted with the same work. This double honor simply means that they can devote more time to the work. Now, finally, when Peter addresses the elders among you, I think that's a great reminder that elders, pastors, overseers are part of the body, not over the body. Paul writes this in Romans chapter 12, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving the one who teaches in his teaching. The one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in his generosity, and the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness." Notice there that teaching and leading, they are just simply two gifts among many that are given to the church. Elders who lead and teach are not any better than any other part of the body. They are simply different. They are all important. They are all necessary. All Christians have a higher calling. All Christians do sacred work. Leaders are not holier than those they lead. They simply have a different role. Jesus Christ is over his body. He is the head. Now, we could add other points to these, like the fact that elder leadership in the New Testament is always male leadership, or that elders serve in plurality, not alone. But the three points that we looked at this morning are helpful in correcting some of the common misconceptions in the church about leadership. Now, I believe that the male leadership in the New Testament has a lot to do with the context of the time. Women were seen as possessions and in many cases not as well educated as the men were. While there can be something said for a male eldership, in today's society, women are educated and they play a vital role in the church and the carrying out of the Great Commission. And I can say personally that the Church of God on Guam would not exist if it were not for the help of women and women who are in leadership. Well, that brings us to our second question. What is Peter's exhortation to these elders? An exhortation is simply a strong encouragement to action. But before we look at the action to which Peter is encouraging these elders, look again at how Peter introduces this exhortation. "So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed." Why does Peter begin this way? Even though he began his letter by stating he was an apostle, here, I think he wants to stress to these elders that he speaks as one who is standing in their shoes. He is also an elder. And when he talks about being a witness of the sufferings of Jesus and a partaker of glory, I think he's trying to point back to everything that he has already said up to this point in this letter about the suffering and the glory and everything that he's already said to encourage these readers. So what is the work to which Peter exhorts them? What were the responsibility of these elders in these churches? You know, the double honor and the single honor elders. Well, it's right there in verse 2. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. That's the exhortation. A group of elders should not be compared to a board of directors. They should draw their inspiration not from those concerned with shareholders, but from those who care for sheep. The work of the elders is a pastoral work. It is shepherd leadership. I probably don't have to tell you about the importance of the metaphor of shepherding in the Bible. It's all over the place. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray, Isaiah 53. But the Lord, who is our shepherd, Psalm 23, raises up leaders like the shepherd boy David to care for his flock, 2 Samuel. And ultimately, God sent the son of David, who proclaimed, as we saw last week, I am the good shepherd, John chapter 10. But Peter's encouragement for the elders here to shepherd and provide oversight to God's own flock comes with qualifications. Look at the three things Peter tells them about the kind of shepherding to which God is calling them. First of all, Peter writes, shepherd, pastor God's flock, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. God wants elders to shepherd from a willing heart. One writer puts it this way, if a man serves as an elder because his wife or friends pressure him to serve, or because he is trapped by circumstances, or because no one else will do the work, he is serving under compulsion. Another commentator says that elders are not to shepherd like drafted soldiers, but like volunteers. God is looking for elders who serve his people, not because they have to, but because they want to. This makes their service a joy and not a chore. And the difference is clear from anyone who has been ministered to by an elder who serves willingly. The second thing Peter makes clear here is that God wants these pastor elders to shepherd with eagerness. Look at verse 2 again. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Listen how Jesus describes the same difference that Peter is stressing here. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not the shepherd does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. When a man serves because he first seeks financial gain or prestige, because he desires the supposed perks of leadership, he has already undermined the essential nature of the shepherd's work. A shepherd first seeks the welfare of the sheep, not his own. Thus, a man should not only be willing to serve as an elder, but eager to serve. He should not only give his permission, but also his passion to the work. That is the kind of shepherd that God is looking for. Finally, Peter tells these elders that they need to shepherd by example. He says in verse 3, they should be eager, not domineering over those in their charge, but being examples to the flock. While some of us have seen leaders who served only because they felt they had to, and others can think of church leaders now or in the past that use their position for shameful gain, many more of us have probably encountered a leader in the church who wielded his position like a sledgehammer. This temptation in regard to leadership is the most common because it is how the world often sees leadership in terms of power to tell others what to do. But as followers of Christ, these elders serve the one who said, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." That's Mark chapter 10. The example of Jesus teaches us that the pastors of God's flock, the overseers, also need to lead by example. God's leaders are always servant leaders who follow the lead of Jesus so that others will be led to serve Christ and others in his name. Peter knows the temptations that are common to all God's leaders. And so here, he reminds them not only of God's call to shepherd the flock, but also God's call for the heart of the shepherd. Now at this point, I know many of you are thinking, what does that have to do with me? I'm not an elder. In some cases, maybe I should just dismiss all of you, except for Marv and Kelly, and Dougie gets up and walks out on us. Except for Marv and Kelly and Mark and Carol and Pastor Frank and Pastor John, and I'll set a big mirror up here, and then, well, maybe better yet, everyone except Pastor Frank and Pastor John and myself. And then continue to explain what God wants to say through Peter to these pastor elders. But the position of this exhortation in this letter right here, and the call to be examples to the church, I believe it points to the critical role that these elders play in helping the church to understand and live out everything that Peter has written up to this point. Peter wanted his readers to understand what the sufferings of Christ said about their sufferings. Peter wanted his readers to understand that they would partake in glory in spite of the shame that they were now experiencing. And so, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, Peter charges the elders to shepherd the church in light of everything that he has written. All of this means that in God's economy, all of us desperately need the shepherding that God wants to provide for us through the men and women he has called as leaders. That's not a statement intended to argue for the importance of the man, but for the importance of the work. In light of all of this, as today we close out Clergy Appreciation Month or Pastor Appreciation Month, it is only fitting to give three things that we can do when it comes to pastor elders. First, pray for them. We should be praying for them. Paul often asked for prayer from those he cared for. God has revealed to us this morning both the task of the elders and the temptations that come with leadership. If the work of the church is the most important work in the universe, and elders are called to lead the church, then they have a very important part to play. A role that needs to be supported by the prayers of God's people. Second, encourage them. We need to encourage these leaders. In light of what we've learned this morning about the work God has given them, okay? Paul puts it this way to the Thessalonian church. "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. I think esteem very highly in love is an attitude that results in encouragement for God's shepherds. Finally, follow their lead. If these leaders are God's appointed leaders, then we should follow their lead. The author to the Hebrews made it clear in the last chapter of the book. He wrote, "Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls. As those who will have to give an account, let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." Now, there is the very real possibility that all of this sounds a little self-serving coming from me, one of the elders among you. But I believe Peter gives the elders and everyone in these churches the most important corrective as he concludes his exhortation in verse 4. He writes, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." The shepherds to whom Peter writes are simply the chief shepherd's shepherds. They have no function or authority or position apart from the chief shepherd. They serve at his pleasure for his purposes. The good shepherd commissioned them, and before him they will give an account. That's not only a statement of encouragement for these leaders, and that's not only a statement that puts these leaders in their places, but it is also a statement that speaks to every person who wants to be shepherded by Jesus himself. The chief shepherd has chosen to use under-shepherds in your life. Jesus Christ wants to bless you through the work of pastor elders and elders that he himself has appointed in the church. Paul told the elders in Ephesus, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood." Now, all of us are sheep. All of us are prone to wander. All of us need to be fed. All of us need to know the care and concern of the chief shepherd. Pray for his under-shepherds, encourage them, follow their lead as they follow Jesus' lead. And as we close, the worship team is going to help us close. We're going to sing a song, "Jesus Lead On." "Jesus Lead On, I Will Follow." You can come on up. "Jesus Lead On, Let Your Love Light the Way." "Jesus Lead On, I Will Follow." "Jesus Lead On." Is this the cry of your heart? That you want to follow Jesus?